Hello and welcome back to this mystery machine we call Legends of Philadelphia. We're your hosts. I'm Tony Trove, and this is my schoolyard chum and creative partner, Johnny Zito. Joining us on engineering duties is the criminal mastermind, Brian Big Brain Bierman.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. You might be wondering, when did these guys go so goth? Well, in addition to being born and raised in Philadelphia, like Transylvania.
I thought you forgot where.
No, I was trying to come up with a pun on the spot.
Now you
Zito
don't
and I. Zito and I have a t-shirt business, South Philly, that focuses on Philly culture and in jokes. Lots of times customers will ask, where does Mayor Kenny go during a full moon? Or they want to know why the parking authority employees don't have a reflection. So we decided to start this podcast as an easy explainer for the new Philadelphians and a refresher for the old heads. The city fascinates and excites us, and we're hoping to share that with you. I feel like I treat the introduction like if you've been watching the Norm Macdonald show, he does cold joke readings at the end of the show, mm-hmm. and they all read jokes off of a cue card, and yeah. It's more difficult to deliver a joke you've never read where someone wrote for you on the spot.
You enjoy a challenge. You like to make it extra hard.
I do enjoy a challenge, and I feel like I swing and I miss every
Oh, I noticed you switched up the cadence on this one. You usually have a very specific cadence for the opener, and it was a little bit more laid back this time.
Well, because that wouldn't be appropriate this week.
That's true.
Now that we've gone full murder podcast crime podcast.
A month ago, we're like, we're never doing this. Now, 2 weeks in a row, here's more murders. Murders.
It's Halloween. Yeah. Murders. It's Halloween. It's on topic. It's thematically relevant.
You said you wanted it spooky.
You said make it spooky.
But what if it's too scary and we drive people off because they can't go to sleep because of how bone chilling these episodes are?
I don't even know how we're going to I don't know how we're going to get through this.
Well, we should mention up front then, just a warning, we're going to be talking about things like murder and assault and serial killers and the Jersey Shore. So brace yourself. It's going to get ugly.
Oh,
the Jersey Shore.
Move your kids. Don't let your kids hear this.
Not Brigantine. No.
No.
The dreaded Stone Harbor.
The Stone Harbor.
Sounds awesome.
That haunted house in Wildwood.
Well, how'd it burn down? Was somebody trying to silence it? Is that why it burned down?
What did that haunted house know? What did that Dracula mansion know?
I heard he knew. Whatever. Who was the guy?
It's hard to make jokes up on the spot.
Well, I couldn't remember the guy's name. Who was the guy that Clinton killed? What was that guy's name?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Vince something.
That's a different podcast.
That's it.
You must think you're on Joe Rogan or something.
Just because you're on DMT doesn't mean you got to talk about Joe Rogan things.
I don't. Listen. Next week, we said we weren't going to do murder podcasts. Next week, we're doing a murder podcast.
Yeah, next week is Clinton Cash.
Clinton Cash. We're drinking the coffee with the butter in it.
We'll be selling diet pills and supplements.
Diet, yeah.
Yeah, Zeta's going to shave his head. He's going to get buff, weirdly buff.
Just really veiny. I'm not going to get stronger. I'm just going to get veinier.
Just veinier.
Veiny.
I've been working out my veins.
Veiny. You got to describe everything as veiny.
So swole.
Yoked.
Stop. I don't like any of these words.
Zito's yoked now.
Yoked.
Oh, man.
Well, there's only two kinds of podcasts, Joe Rogan style podcast and murder podcast and Philly history podcast. No one cares.
There's no room for just three friends talking.
We need more than 12 listeners. We got to talk with people. Here,
please tell your friends. Tell your creepy goth friends.
Thank you. Well, we did it. We said we wouldn't, and we did it. We're back with more true crime.
You said it, and you did it. You wrote these, and you said that.
Oh, I did it again. I'm sorry.
Oops, I did it again.
Oops, I did.
Next week, Britney Spears.
Always with the
on,
Britney.
On the our Britney Spears theories next week.
We're just going for all the best search terms.
That'll get likes.
This is how this is slowly turning into a morning radio.
Yeah.
What's in the news today? Yeah.
Such a lighthearted intro for our topic today.
Yeah, it's chicken sandwich day. We're eating chicken sandwich at the studio today.
Yeah, we're all wearing Hawaiian shirts today.
It's National Egg Salad, Deviled Egg Day.
Hump Day. Welcome to Hump Day.
Hump Day.
Hawaiian shirt Hump Day.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Ted Bundy was an American serial killer who kidnapped, raped, and murdered numerous young women and girls during the 1970s and possibly even earlier. He confessed to 30 homicides, though his true victim total is unknown and could be much higher. Bundy was regarded as handsome and charismatic, traits that he exploited to win the trust of his victims. He was also a college boy and studied right here in Philadelphia. So join us as we recount Ted Bundy's semester at Temple University.
That was a 180.
No segues. We just hit you right in the face with it like a pie. Just wham.
But, I mean, what I really want to talk about was, where did Ted Bundy eat when he went to Temple? Did he go to the bagel hut?
R.I.P.
Did he get salt, pepper, ketchup on his bagel sandwich? I got to know.
Of course he did. I mean, he's a sociopath.
Did
he doesn't
he go
have
to
bad
Fame's
taste.
Famous Pizza?
Wow.
Frequented the crepe truck. That was his favorite spot. It says it on Wikipedia.
I ate at the crepe truck.
Actually, the guy at the crepe truck told me that.
Yeah, I ate a seafood crepe there one time. I got so sick.
Why? What? That's on you, though. A seafood.
That sounds like
crepe.
A gamble.
I know.
That sounds like
I'm
seafood
like,
out of
what?
A truck.
I just made it. I made a pledge that I was going to try every single one of them.
The guy in the truck tried to talk you out of it, but you couldn't be dissuaded.
I think one of the best parts of going to Temple was the food. I think you have a you get to try.
That's
so
why Ted Bundy
things.
Went there.
Yeah, it's sold him on the campus.
I get it. I totally get it.
That and Tuttleman Technology.
Why Temple better than Penn State? You can eat like a prince of Philadelphia.
That's why.
That's why. The Harvard of North Broad Street. eat like a prince.
I mean, he probably ate from food carts. He probably did, like most students at Temple University, probably ate from food carts, probably had a lot of cheesesteaks, probably some breakfast sandwiches.
No. He's a psycho. He didn't eat cheesesteaks.
Like, yeah, they got a kibasi. He got no red onions. This guy crazy?
He would order strange things on his cheesesteak, yeah. He'd be like, put a broccoli on there, just one big stalk of broccoli.
Put some mayo on my cheesesteak.
Whoa, I do that. I'm not a serial killer.
That's one of the questions on the personality to test to determine whether or not you are a serial killer.
The Briggs Myers.
Yeah, the Briggs Myers.
So,
yeah.
Are you guys big fans of Ted Bundy?
No, but
no,
we
I'm
graduated
not.
From the school, and they tell you all these things. They tell you the dark secrets of Temple University. They're dark.
Yeah, well.
Hall & Oates music. You play it backwards, you'll hear some shit.
Oh.
Bierman, did you not know that Ted Bundy did a semester at Temple?
No, I didn't.
No, you don't. You didn't know about his connections to the city?
Well,
I was just watching a movie. They were like talking about college. It was a King of Staten Island. What's his name? The SNL guy. And there's like he was like, "Don't go to college. Crazy people go to college." He's like the Unabomber, and he says, "Ted Bundy went to Temple." I was like, "What a strange shout out to say in this movie." And it,
yeah.
Did you watch that movie? I don't know.
Not a lot of people know about Ted Bundy's Philadelphia connection. I was aware that he went to Temple University. It's one of the things they tell you at orientation. their list of famous students. Yeah.
Bill Cosby, Ted Bundy, like who else? Other just superstars of
just other terrible, horrible people. Yeah, they're like, you're joining the hallowed institution that graduated Bob Saget.
Bob Saget really go to Temple?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What a what a horrifying bone chilling information.
Well, it's a Halloween podcast, so.
I was saying major as him.
Puppetry.
But I did not know that Ted Bundy was born Theodore Robert Cowell on November 24th, 1946, to Eleanor Louise Cowell at the Elizabeth Lund Home for Unwed Mothers in Burlington, Vermont. His father's identity has never been confirmed. By some accounts, his birth certificate assigns paternity to a salesman, an Air Force veteran named Lloyd Marshall, but some family members express suspicion that Bundy might have been fathered by Louise's own father, Samuel Cowell, but no material evidence has ever been cited to support this. And as a child, Bundy lived in the Philadelphia home of his maternal grandparents, Samuel and Eleanor Cowell, who raised him as their own son to avoid the social stigma that accompanied birth outside of wedlock.
Jesus, you know, we were talking about, like, what's the best pretzel?
Yo, this was not my subject.
Like, whoa.
I was researching Doomsday cults. Mustard,
and you're like, whew.
I was happily researching Doomsday cults last night.
I held my breath the entire time. I'm just saying.
I was happily researching Doomsday cults last night, and Trove reached out via text message, and he said, has anyone ever covered Ted Bundy at Temple University? And I
was trying, yeah, but where he ate breakfast. That's what I'm trying to talk about. Or, I mean,
Oh, okay. Podcast's over, everybody. We're done.
We're done.
Enjoy the rest of your drive to work in silence. Trove got his question answered.
You're like messed up now. It didn't even start. He didn't even do anything yet. You know what he did, right? You know what he's famous for, right? He's not a tap dancer. You know why he's like, oh, I thought he was an actor. I didn't know any of this.
He was a puppetry major, right?
He was on Broadway, right? I don't know a lot about plays.
I just went through the list of notable people on Wikipedia. I don't know. I was just... All right. Go on, Zito. I'm sorry. Sorry, everyone.
Oh, no. We're in the
Oh, people are loving this. This is their favorite thing. They love true crime. They love murder.
No one listens to this podcast. It doesn't matter. It's fine.
Family, friends, and even young Ted were told that his grandparents were his parents and that his mother was his older sister. They lived on a small farm on the 7200 block of Ridge Avenue at Domino Lane. And I looked it up. There's a Popeye's chicken and a YMCA there now today.
What's real?
I want to go to that Popeye's.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
I want to go there.
Maybe if they had the sandwich that they were.
Oh, they do.
They do have a good chicken strip sandwich. That's true.
No. It's not strips.
They don't have that anymore? That's been a while.
That was never strips.
It's not strips.
Well, those aren't chicken strips in their po' boy sandwich. What do you call that? That's not a whole chicken.
No, they're.
First of all,
did you miss this whole, like, there was a. Yeah. There was a huge deal with their.
You're reading about
sandwiches.
Murders, and you missed the Popeye's chicken shortage.
No, I totally missed this. No, I absolutely.
And then
missed
it was like, if you didn't, if they ran out of bread. If you came with your own roll, they would fill it. You don't remember this?
No. Was this during the pandemic? Was this when
me and Bierman on Broad and Snyder with our rolls out?
dude, that's what we were walking around.
Fill them up.
I thought you were in line. I thought you were in line for sneakers at the first year.
No,
the
fill up these. Yeah. Fill up our sandwiches.
At the sneaker store.
No, we went to Kosh's. We got a dozen rolls each, and then we were.
Before the pandemic, this was the biggest news in the world.
This was a different life being Beer used to live. This was.
In the before times, there was a chicken shortage?
Yes, yeah.
No, it was a bread shortage. It was a chicken sandwich shortage.
We'll do a podcast on
it. You don't even care about chicken sandwiches.
Was it only in Philadelphia?
No, it was national news.
Okay.
International news.
Okay, I was really busy at the end of 2019, beginning of 2020.
I'm pretty sure this is also on the International Space Station. It was intergalactic news.
It was intergalactic news.
Yeah.
right. Ted Bundy.
Ted Bundy.
All
let's
right.
get back on track.
Yeah, he lived in Northeast Philly. Great. Let's. What else?
Technically, I mean, I guess it's like it's the Roxborough area, right? So
Roxborough, very scary. Really? Remember when I was a leasing agent out there? It's
In 1987, Bundy and other family members told attorneys that Samuel Cowell was a tyrannical bully and bigot who hated blacks, Italians, Catholics, and Jews. He beat his wife and the family dog and swung neighborhood cats around by their tails. He once threw Louise's younger sister, Julia, down a flight of stairs for oversleeping. He sometimes spoke aloud to unseen presences and at least on one occasion flew into a violent rage when the question of Bundy's parentage was brought up. Mm.
Whew.
The thing about, I watched, for some reason, 4 in the morning last night, I was like, let me watch a Ted Bundy documentary. This all helped me sleep, but they were talking about how much
common.
The...
Perfect for going to sleep, yeah.
You know, him believing his sister was his mom, and like how much that fucked him up, no, probably.
Believing his mom was his sister.
Whenever you hear that story, it guarantees always messes the person up.
Yeah, your whole life is a lie. That's like so effed up.
It messes everyone up. Don't ever do that because it definitely it surely messes the person up.
Jack Nicholson.
Jack Nicholson, sure, right?
What a psycho.
What a psycho.
Other psycho.
So it sounds like living with Samuel Cowell was terrible. It was traumatizing and also... finding out later on that your whole life was a lie and this guy wasn't your father must have had its own... you know, trauma to unpack as well. It's just awfulness all the way down for Ted Bundy. Although it's kind of hard.
Roxborough, man.
Yeah.
despite what Gary Barbera says, not always beautiful.
So Bundy described his grandmother as a timid and obedient woman who periodically underwent electroconvulsive therapy for depression and feared to leave the house toward the end of her life. Bundy occasionally exhibited disturbing behavior at an early age. Julia recalled awakening from a nap to find herself surrounded by knives from the kitchen and the 3-year-old Ted standing by the bed smiling.
Well, the electric shock therapy, I wonder if that was like, I don't know, there's no...
That was the rage back then, yeah.
By Barry, right, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, that was the rage back then. Getting people suffering from anxiety or depression were given electroshock therapy to help... erase the trauma instead of like talking about it or working through it. The idea was that they would just shock it out of you and then you would start from zero and rebuild your personality from there. But you lose all the good stuff with the bad stuff. And people who went through electroconvulsive therapy many times, like, you know, forgot how to take care of themselves and tie their shoes and speak. And so it was a lengthy recovery period from these therapy sessions.
How much does it cost?
This is tangential, but back in the day, this kind of stuff was so common that they would have, like, his name escapes me, but there was a guy, a doctor, who traveled cross-country and popularized lobotomies in the United States.
He was from Philadelphia.
Yeah, he was from Philadelphia as well.
We should do one on him.
And
write it down.
He would pull up in your neighborhood in his Winnebago and explain that, you know, if you had a relative with
who wants a lobotomy? Kids, line up. Lobotomies for all.
And they would do it like Mr. Softy, and they would just get in line.
Yeah. He had a theme song, too.
And he did one of the Kennedys.
He did, yeah. He did it.
Wait, really?
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. Yeah, one of the Kennedy sisters.
But that's another episode of Legends of Philadelphia.
Maybe we'll save that for next Halloween.
After dark, yeah.
But yeah, this type of, I guess, roadside psychotherapy was common for people who were not of means back then. And it was just what there was available. So like we said, Ted was experiencing trouble as a kid, maybe impersonating his grandfather who was having mental problems. And then, you know, if it's genetic, it's passed on through the family. So this is, you know, generational. And in 1950, Louise changed her surname to Cowell, from Cowell to Nelson, at the urging of multiple family members, and left Philadelphia with Ted to live with cousins Alan and Jane Scott in Tacoma, Washington. She was trying to escape all of this. She didn't want her kid to turn out like her father. So in 1951, Louise met Johnny Culpeperry Bundy at an adult singles night at Tacoma's First Methodist Church. They married later that year, and Johnny Bundy formally adopted Ted as his own son. Johnny and Louise conceived four children of their own, and though Johnny tried to include his adopted son in camping trips and other family activities, Ted remained distant. He later complained to his girlfriend that Johnny wasn't his real father, quote, he wasn't very bright, and, quote, didn't make a lot of money, end quote.
Damn.
So his mom did what she could. She moved him across country. She was like, this is a messed up situation. We don't know if his grandfather was his father, but if that's true and she's seeing behavior that like her dad in her son, she just had all the reasons to get out of there. And for all intents and purposes, it sounded like she met a pretty nice guy. He was a cook at a hospital, like he made the meals for the people who were convalescing there. And they had a
hospital food. Well known to be delicious.
That's the real horror. Yeah, that's the thing that set Ted Bundy off. Hospital food.
You call this chicken cordon bleu?
This makes me want to kill somebody. After graduating from high school in 1965, Bundy attended the University of Puget Sound for 1 year before transferring to the University of Washington to study Chinese. In, I guess, the language Chinese. It doesn't say specifically if it's like a sociological thing or a language thing. In 1967, he became romantically involved with a UW classmate who is identified by several pseudonyms in Bundy biographies, most commonly known as Stephanie Brooks. In early 1968, he dropped out of college and worked at a series of minimum wage jobs. So he's just kind of bumming around.
Like a college student.
I get it.
Yeah, it's crazy, I guess, to think of famous people when you like look back at certain like points in their life and be like, it could have gone anywhere from there, you know? And like, I don't know. I'm not saying that Bundy could have been a productive member of society necessarily, but...
Yeah, like if Hitler would have got into that art school.
Right. If Bundy had just done one more semester at Puget Sound, if he had just like really buckled down.
If Charles Manson got signed by the record company and who knows?
It's really interesting of these infamous people at these points in their lives and be like, it could have gone one way.
I'm going to poke a hole in this because I read some of The Stranger Beside Me by Ann Rule, who is a lady who worked with Ted Bundy, and Ted Bundy wrote her for years and stuff. Anyway, in a later edition, because I was reading about it last night, they said there's a girl who went missing when Bundy was 14, and they kind of think that he was involved in that. So he might have already killed somebody by this point.
I did read that, and we'll get into it later, but I feel there's also something to the legend, and people just he's a boogeyman, and people just, you know, as...
Because there is another famous murder that they said that he did, but apparently
he didn't do. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's common for a lot of these, I guess, narcissist serial killers, these sociopaths. They tell lies wrapped in truth and truth wrapped in lies. That's like their whole thing, and to keep you guessing. And this way they have all the power because they know what you really want to know.
The scary part of is like working with somebody and finding out they're Ted Bundy.
What did they work at? A hotline? They did like 911 calls.
Suicide hotline.
Suicide.
Which is that's another thing. That's if I'm like, I
that's
an
intense
want,
job, man. That's intense gig.
Yeah, but I don't want Ted Bundy picking up the phone if I'm like, if I need help, and like Ted Bundy is not the voice I want to hear on the
phone. Yeah, you think they'd screen people? They're like, you're just not a serial killer, right? No. Okay.
That's also real juicy. Like, is he trying to help people, or is he trying to push people over the edge? Is he learning how to manipulate people when he's doing something like that? He's learning how to make people happy or forget what's worrying them and step back from the edge and learning what words would push them further to the edge. It's like expert manipulator stuff that these kinds of serial killers just become obsessed with, I guess, and then get really good at because they spend their whole lives impersonating real humans.
And he was smart. I mean, he was, like, brilliant.
Yeah, they say they tested him when he was finally in jail, and they say he had 136 IQ. That doesn't mean he was necessarily intelligent. Like we said, he never really could buckle down at any of these schools, but he had no trouble passing the entrance exam, you know. He was a good test taker, not a really great student. Shortly after his string of minimum wage jobs, which was like volunteering for political campaigns and working at the suicide hotline, Brooks ended their relationship, and she returned to her family home in California, frustrated by what she described as Bundy's immaturity and lack of ambition. Psychiatrist Dorothy Ottenau Lewis would later pinpoint this crisis as, quote, probably the pivotal time in his development, end quote. Devastated by Brooks's rejection, Bundy traveled to Colorado and then further east, visiting relatives in Arkansas and settling again in his childhood home, Philadelphia.
Your heart broken? Let me go to Philadelphia.
A common theme of a lot of the celebrities, famous people from Philadelphia we've covered is that like they're at their lowest and they're like, let me go to Philadelphia and get my shit together. Let me... I just need to go to Philadelphia and clear my head. That place that place will just get me straight. And I don't know what possesses them to
think that. Yeah, I know. Why do you think that? Not
well,
like
you're dead wrong for doing that.
They must
right?
be
like
so
that,
desperate.
You're going to the wrong spot. You're in the red.
I would go to like the desert or something or like someplace zen. Not
yeah, so where you can have a spiritual quest, climb a mountain, go see a lake or something. I'm gonna go to the grayest city in America, Philadelphia.
That'll light my fire.
This is before the Eagles won a Super Bowl. There's nothing going on here.
There's nothing.
Mm-hmm. The Doors came here and then they wrote the song "Light My Fire." Like it. it's amazing what it can inspire.
So yeah, he returned to Philadelphia, and according to the book The Bundy Murders, A Comprehensive History, he lived on South Warner Road in Lafayette Hill for a month prior to starting at Temple University in January of 1969. So around Christmas 68, he moved in to this apartment. Again, back to the same neighborhood, essentially, he lived at when he was a kid, but renting a room from somebody.
Roxborough, man. It'll drive you crazy.
This episode is going to plunge the real estate market in Roxborough.
In Roxborough.
We're sorry. We didn't mean to do that. During this time, Ted Bundy is believed to not have declared a major, but he was exploring the subject of psychology. So I guess you can kind of imagine him at a Psych 101 class in Anderson Hall, big lecture hall, learning about Freud, misinterpreting Freud. And mm-hmm. and like most freshmen,
it's a cigar.
I think everybody who ever went to Temple took the Psych 101 course. It's a first semester course or Psych 100, 101. I don't remember what where they start you out, but it's like that very general purpose exploration of you know the history of psychology and the different schools of thought on it.
Push the button. Shock the man. All right, I'm pushing a button.
They tell you about the Stanford experiment and things like that. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm sure this was, in an age before the internet, I'm sure this was very eye-opening for someone like Ted Bundy, who's, like, again, really into manipulating people. Makes you wonder about who some of your other students were in that Psych 100 class.
Sure. Actually, the Stanford thing was actually in the 70s, so
This was before that.
And it's 69, yeah. It's far back.
Wow, you're right. Yeah, I don't want to get into it, but this kind of reminds me of all of that stuff from that that Mindhunters television show where they first start to explore the whys of these kinds of murders. And, you know, This is an era in history where there's tons of these serial murders happening. And when we look back, you know, there's a whole industry of serial murder podcasts and books and things that are, like, pretty much centered on the late 50s through the late 70s of a certain type of serial killer that moves across the country and kills women indiscriminately and gets away with it because law enforcement isn't talking to one another. The structures aren't in place to catch these people because no one really understands why they're doing it. It defies the understanding of crime at the time, which is, you know, rob a person, kill somebody in a crime of passion. But guys like Ted Bundy, I guess, are out there and they're rewriting the book.
I guess that was the craziest thing about the documentary was just I didn't realize how much of a failure multiple times by law enforcement. Like, they had, like, his, they had multiple tips about him, and but like, when these murders were happening, and they were like, oh, well, he's like a clean cut guy, it couldn't have been him, and like, but, you know, because that's who they weren't looking for. They were looking for, like, I don't know, I guess they thought it was like a, they didn't think it would be somebody like him.
There's a lot of racism and bigotry that's fueling suspicions at that time, and they're in the same way we kind of like talked about, like, devil panic, satanic panic and things like that. People are really scared about hippies. They're really scared about black people and civil rights. Like, they're not looking for some white guy with well-coiffed hair to be this heinous murderer.
Yeah.
It's a college student.
College student. He's studying Chinese. He's a good boy.
Studying Chinese.
It seems Ted was aimless and isolated during his time in Philly. According to many involved in the Bundy case, he was, he made the, many college students are, you know, I know I felt that way after graduating from Temple University. According to many involved in the Bundy case, he made the drastic move across country in an effort to quell the desires that he had developed but not yet acted on in Washington. So back when he was living in Washington, he was, like, obsessed with pornography and violence and things like that. And these were thoughts he couldn't get out of his head. And I guess he skipped cross country back to Philadelphia because he was trying to run away from himself in the same way that his mom was trying to run away from herself, her family, to begin with.
Same time, Vampirella number one dropping in Philadelphia.
That's exactly what's happening.
That's true.
The summer this is happening.
Do you think this porno fan picked up a copy?
And he owned David a copy. Lynch, yeah. Isn't David Lynch in Philly around this time?
Lynch is in Philly, but this one of his weird movies. Yeah,
oh man, there's a movie. There's a script there where these guys meet at a diner one there. Night.
Yes, yes.
Father Devine's there.
He does a cameo. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
like that movie, One Night in Miami. It's like a bunch of historical figures crossing over.
Yes,
let's do it.
just like that one. Movie.
Just like that. Just like that Oscar-nominated, award-winning movie.
Never heard of.
It was an Amazon Prime release. Listening.
Amazon Prime.
I banged that script out over a weekend, man. Call me Jeff Bezos.
Dino, text me after this. I have a couple ideas. Yeah. I really want to work robots into this script.
There's not enough robots in this script.
Yes. We've got to squeeze one in.
Bundy stayed on it.
We got to get Lincoln in here.
As longtime fans know, you're always trying to squeeze Lincoln into a project.
Squeeze a Lincoln in there. Yeah, squeeze a Lincoln in there.
I don't like the term squeeze a Lincoln. That's disgusting. I know it doesn't mean anything, but that's just disgusting.
If anyone out there is an editor on Urban Dictionary, just add it. Whatever you want to say it is.
Don't credit us.
Squeeze a Lincoln in there.
No, mm-hmm. No. Don't say squeeze a Lincoln.
Bundy only stayed at Temple University for several months, one semester. After that semester, he lived briefly with his grandparents, whom he still believed to be his parents, in Lafayette Hill, Roxborough. He moved back into his old bedroom, I guess, and he didn't have the money to keep renting, and school was over, and so he moved back in with his grandparents, who, again, he believed were his parents.
I get it. When I worked in Roxborough, when I leased apartments there, I remember one day, I pulled over to the side of the road, and I saw a white horse. Zito remembers this, and I took pictures with it. Then I went to work, and I told them I did that, and they were pretty much like, "You're fired."
You told me you brought carrots to it.
No, but I was afraid to feed it because I'm afraid of, like, I don't want to put my hand near it. Roxborough's crazy, man. Roxborough, like, it makes you crazy.
And this is before phones had cameras. You had to bring a digital camera.
Yeah, I had a point and shoot. This is 2005. This is when I worked at Summit Park. Hands down, the worst leasing agent of all time.
They changed. You told me they got rid of Casual Fridays because you wore a Bruce Lee button down shirt.
Yeah, I ruined that for everyone. I have no place in the office. This is why I do this. I have no place in Roxborough. I can only make T-shirts and make comments on podcasts.
Didn't you say? Didn't you say you had the same major as Ted Bundy? Did you?
No, I said no. Bob Saget.
Puppetry.
No, like successful Philadelphian Bob Saget.
Man, there but for the grace of God go you. You could have been you could have been Ted Bundy.
America's Home's Funniest Videos.
You could have been on America's Home Funniest Home Videos.
You ain't getting that 10 grand, dude. You need a baby. Oh wait, you got a baby now. Babies always win the 10 grand. That's
they
how you
always
can get,
won.
That's how you can win.
Yeah.
Make Stella do something funny.
She got to kick you in the crotch.
Kick me in the crotch and then farts.
No, you fart.
That's 20
then I
grand.
Fart.
No. People don't like
do
that.
Do they still
like
do this show?
Fart.
We got to get on this.
I don't know.
Right, let's end this podcast. And
text
this.
Me after this. We're gonna brainstorm after this episode.
We got a lot of creative projects coming out of this Ted Bundy episode.
Mm-hmm. You're clearly fired.
I'm really excited.
This Ted Bundy just inspires me. I don't know what it is.
It's like I don't want to talk about Ted Bundy at all.
It's the Halloween season in general. Look.
It's like he makes my back sweat.
My back sweat.
I wanted to talk about the food at Temple, and I was just trying to make it.
So you picked Ted Bundy?
I was just trying to talk about
Ted
food carts.
Bundy?
We, see, doesn't make it spooky. I was like, okay, haunted food carts.
Ted
Bundy
goes
to food
carts.
You picked Ted Bundy, and then you don't want to talk about Ted Bundy?
Where do they get the onions they put on the sausages? Those red onions. Where do they get them? How do you make them? That's what the episode was supposed to be about. And Zito said, we got to make it spooky. So I said, all right, how about Ted Bundy goes to a food truck? At Temple.
Get this. He goes to a food truck.
And I just yes-anded you because that's what I learned at college.
That's what you learned at improv college.
I graduated summa cum laude from the Upright Citizens Brigade improv theater. It's all I know.
You just watched the show a bunch.
I just watched it. I own the DVD. I own both seasons.
I own the DVD. Same thing.
So it's a all right. We gotta get through this.
Cut all that.
biographer and true crime writer Anne Rule, who Bierman mentioned earlier, she knew Bundy personally and believed that he did not find out that his parents were actually his grandparents until this time in 1969, when he located his original birth certificate. So he's living at his grandparents' house in 1969 after completing a semester at Temple when he finds out that his whole life is a lie.
And it's weird that they kept it like as a written secret, you know.
Well, there's like different stories about it. I was confused. I've never read a book on Bundy, so maybe there's an expert out there who wants to clarify in the comments. But it sounds like Bundy's cousin accused him of being a bastard, and when Bundy was like, "Nuh-uh," the cousin produced the birth certificate from like the family records, and it has on the birth certificate was his sister listed as his mother and no father written in.
I see.
I'm pretty sure that's what happened, or at least that's one of the many stories he told. The dude's like the Joker. He's got like 50 origins. He reworks this stuff all the time.
I knew you were gonna bring up. I knew the Joker was gonna come up in this episode.
It only makes sense. There are a few details about Ted's reactions to this news, but we know that he mentioned a lifelong resentment towards his mother for lying to him and for leaving him to discover his true parentage on his own. And then to escape this news, he moved to Monco to live with his aunt for a brief time in the summer of 69 before he returned to Washington. So he was so upset with his parents, grandparents, that he left. He couldn't be in that house anymore. He moved to go be with his aunt. Who said he mostly kept to himself there, and she says, she didn't know anything was wrong at the time. But he kind of like hung out there for a minute, and then he was like, all right, I'm going back to Washington. I gotta get back to my old life.
Montgomery County. Not very, too boring for Ted Bundy.
Too boring. So we talked about Ted Bundy going to Temple University, but there is a local mystery that has remained subject of frequent Bundy speculation for more than 50 years: the unsolved murder of two 19-year-old college students who had just spent Memorial Day weekend in Ocean City, New Jersey, in 1969. Back then,
this crosses over with Grace Kelly then too.
Yes, I guess it does. Yeah, she was probably
we gotta write this script.
Down the shore.
We gotta write this script.
I can't believe these are very, you're pointing it out, and it's like these are very active years for Philadelphia. So says the Legends of Philadelphia podcast.
Okay.
I'm waiting for Ziggy to settle.
Ziggy the dog?
Ziggy the dog.
Kick her ass out. No, Ziggy. You can't be like Ted Bundy. Ziggy's pro Ted Bundy. That's how awful she is.
Ziggy is a monster. It's true. No. I am gonna kick her out.
Didn't I tell him to do that? Didn't I say Ziggy's bad?
You specifically said that.
Some wonder whether these young women, Susan Davis and Elizabeth Perry, were the first of Bundy's many victims at a time when serial killers had gained terrifying prominence. So, you know, local police departments wouldn't have initially thought, oh, it's a serial killer or whatever, but that was beginning to happen. And Bundy's presence in the Philadelphia region around the same time as Davis and Perry were killed in 1969 would seem to at least partly support the theory that he could have been responsible for their deaths. Bundy's grandparents also owned a home in Ocean City, New Jersey, where he occasionally visited as a boy. So he knew the area, I wouldn't say well, but...
So he went to Mac and Manco's?
Yeah, he
bummed well enough to...
He talked about this later in prison. He bummed around the shore for Memorial Day weekend after school had let out, and he didn't have any friends because he's a monster. And so he went down the shore, and he kind of like, you know, harassed some girls. And on May 30th, 19...
You know, serial killer shit.
Serial killer shit. Hanging out under the boardwalk.
Hot serial killer summer.
That's a Jersey Shore boardwalk t-shirt,
thank
if
you.
Ever there was one.
Thank you. Thank you. They can steal that, I'm sure.
And they will. So on May 30th, 1969, Perry and Davis left Ocean City around 5 a.m. and stopped at the Summers Point Diner about 2 miles away to get breakfast. They disappeared and were not found until 3 days later when a maintenance worker discovered their bodies about 200 feet off the Garden State Parkway near a mile marker 31-9. Linking Bundy to the killing of Davis and Perry requires a certain amount of inference in sifting through the veracity of his own statements. Bundy told different stories to different people and refused to divulge specifics of his earliest crimes, even as he confessed in graphic detail to dozens of later murders in the days preceding his execution. He told psychologist Art Norman that he killed the two women in Atlantic City in 1969 while visiting family in Philadelphia.
Jeez.
Bundy described being adrift. He had just finished the semester, so he went to the Jersey Shore, hung out on the beach, met a couple of girls. Davis and Perry wound up being the first time he had killed anyone, so he says. He felt this sense of taboo and despair, and that he knew that he would do it again.
Oof.
Yeah, and I guess, I mean, this is all this stuff about Ted Bundy, but to talk about those two girls, they were college students, they were friends, one was from Pennsylvania, one was from Minnesota. They went to college together at a college that no longer exists. I think it was called Monticello. They were traveling to the shore, and they were going to head back and visit family of the one girl in Harrisburg, and they did not make it. And by all intents and purposes, it sounds like they came from pretty affluent families, and they had a lot of jewelry on them when they were murdered, but none of the jewelry was missing, which implies that, you know, it wasn't
weird,
a robbery.
Yeah.
Or anything like that. So Atlantic City or Atlantic County prosecutors found nothing to corroborate Bundy's vague allusions to the case. However, Bundy himself turned around and denied involvement in it. Well, he brought it up once more the day before he was executed and then denied it before dying in the electric chair.
Pretty weird to bring up this random thing.
Yeah. Well, again, if it was the first time that he ever actually did kill somebody, it would be interesting, or it would make sense that his thoughts were returning there as he was facing his own death.
Yes, that is, I guess, that is interesting way to think about it.
His aunt in the Philly area claimed during one interview after his execution that Bundy had an alibi for Memorial Day when the murders had taken place. However, people think she might have been confused because Memorial Day didn't used to be, you know, stuck on a Monday like it is now, and I guess it used to float. And so the day in question may not have been the day that she thought it was, so her alibi is kind of sketchy.
You confuse Labor Day and Memorial Day sometimes. You just confuse
That's what everybody does. That's what everybody does,
they
yeah.
They cap the summers, yeah. You know. So.
One starts the summer, one closes the summer. Mm-hmm. So there might have been some confusion on her part, and we don't know. Was Bundy lying? Was it two other girls that he murdered? There's a lot of serial killers out there. There was another serial killer who claimed responsibility for these murders as well, but then evidence proved that it couldn't have been that guy, so we just don't know. We may never know. All these years later, the New Jersey State Police are still hoping to determine who killed Davis and Perry. Anyone who was in the area of Ocean City Summers Point or the surrounding stretch of the Garden State Parkway at the time and has information is asked to contact the state police. They have a cold case unit that looks into these things. I know that sounds silly, but that anyone would have information on things like that. But it apparently in this case, years later, it turns out that a group of guys were parked nearby where the girls were murdered the night of the murder. And while they were not able to provide any evidence, any additional evidence that would help lead to a arrest, they were able to provide more context for this case that is super duper old by this point, and the trail has gone cold.
What a different feeling at the end of this episode.
What a not fun thing to talk about. Let's not do any more murders. Can we not do any more?
I don't know, man. We got to give the people what they want.
I don't think people want
the response.
I don't want it. And I'm on the show, and I don't want it.
The response to the poison ring episode was very
monstrous.
Yes, it was monstrous. Yes, the bloodlust was palpable. maybe this wound was too fresh. Maybe this one was too recent. Maybe people want older crimes, older murders that they don't have to feel bad
old
about.
Timey yeah. Murders. Old yeah, timey murders. Yeah, it's 100. It's been 100 years. I don't gotta.
This
feel
murder
bad.
Is 52 years old, and you know, I don't know if that's enough space for you, but
I don't think so.
No, I was not crazy about this subject either. Ted Bundy was a real guy, and he really did a lot of damage, and, you know.
I was just trying to talk about food trucks. I'm sorry, everyone. I'm sorry if everyone's your Monday. I'm sorry, Bierman.
We could have been talking about doomsday cults, but instead we talked about a serial killer.
I was like, top five cheeses to go on your cheesesteak.
Gorgonzo.
Munster.
Oh my God! Very on theme.
What's the smelly one? What's the real that they always make fun of in Looney Tunes?
Gorgonzola.
Limburger.
Limburger.
Yeah. I always like Swiss because it's full of holes. Mm-hmm. It's interesting to draw.
One real quick thing though about Ted Bundy: you cannot watch or read anything about what they're like. He was so handsome. Look how handsome he was. And I was like, oh, wow, he must look like Brad Pitt or something. And you look him up, and it's like, no, he looks like a serial killer. If you lined up 20
people.
I've
seen handsomer
like,
serial killers.
If you lined up 20 people, and you were like, which one's the serial killer? This could be the guy with this crazy eyes.
Because, like, John Wayne Gacy, he's just, like, he's unconventionally handsome. And I guess somebody like Ted Bundy is conventionally handsome.
What?
I'm just trying to get in the mind of a serial podcast listener, a serial murder podcast.
When he dresses
listener.
Up like a clown, that's hot. Don't you think that's hot?
Yes, people do think that's hot. People get. People
I know they do.
There's all kinds of reasons people listen to true crime documentaries or movies or things like that. But it is an explosive genre right now and inescapable.
Ted Bundy was like married. He was engaged. The lady he was engaged to. She said to the day he died that he didn't do anything. It's like, it's fucking.
So you're saying the CIA set him up?
Bringing it back to the Joe Rogan malarkey.
I'm Ted Bundy. Pretty sucky dude. I guess that's where our podcast comes down on this. not
terrible taste in food trucks.
And anti Ted Bundy, pro Hawaiian shirts, anti Ted Bundy, Legends
that's
of Philadelphia.
That's this podcast. That's this podcast. I don't know if you guys have anything you want to add. Take a moral stand against Ted Bundy. It's pretty easy.
Yeah, I want to say I don't support this.
I don't support Ted Bundy.
This Ted Bundy character.
I mean, there may be Ted Bundys out there that I do support. I don't know. I haven't met all the Ted Bundys, but this one in particular.
Oh, but that could, but people named Ted Bundy, you mean?
Yeah.
No, I have nothing to say about Ted Bundy, but shout out to all the beautiful white horses in Roxborough, Pennsylvania.
That are listening.
Ride on.
Ride on.
Oh, my God. Okay, that's all there is to know about Temple student Ted Bundy. Please check out our...
You need a fringy vest, Drew.
Please check out our website, www.southfellini.com. That's SOUTHFELLINI.com for cool Philly-inspired merch. Check us out on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. We're at South Fellini everywhere. Let us know in the comments, you know, who's your favorite Philadelphia serial killer. Follow along and join in the conversation.
Don't be mad.
We want to hear from you. Look out for new episodes of the podcast every Monday. Stay safe, wash your hands, get a vaccine, and wear a mask.